But I'm excited to talk to Lynn Freeman, who's an RNZer. And she's also keen on the Royal Albatross family on Dunedin's Tairoa Head, who are live streamed to the world. Would you believe that more than 100,000 people check in on this Albatross family? And there's been a bit of drama in this ongoing streamed soap opera. Lynn Freeman joins me now. Hi, Lynn.
Kia ora, Jesse, from my lounge to your daughter's bedroom.
Kia ora. Yeah, how special, Lynn. Really nice to talk to you, and thanks for all the mahi you're doing behind the scenes at the moment. All the RNZers are sort of stretched and doing different roles and working in different ways, so we really appreciate your effort. Now, I think we should start from the beginning with Royal Cam, because loads of people will only just vaguely know about what it is. In fact, you know, I'll be honest with you, Lynn, and I sort of think of albatrosses as big seagulls, and that's why I've invited you on as an expert and someone who truly appreciates their magnificence. So what is Royal Cam?
Well, for the past few years, a pair of northern albatross parents on Tairoa Head have been chosen as the royal couple, and they've had a camera perched a few metres away from the nest. Now, the nest is it's not selected until all the eggs have been laid, and then the camera stays in place until the chick fledges in September. No privacy, I'm afraid, for the family. And by the time they fledge, they're around 8 months old. So we spend a lot of time with them through the year, through the ups and the downs, and they grow in size from just hatched to several kilos. Now, this year is a big year, actually. There's a flash new camera system been installed by an overseas company called Cornell Lab, and it has live cams. I highly recommend this to everybody at home. Live cams on birds' nests around the world. It's extraordinary. And now there's infrared in this new system, so we can watch the Royal Albatross nest throughout the night for the first time, and that's really exciting. And I've got the latest numbers from Doc this morning. There have been more than 186,000 views on the Royal Cam live stream compared to last year. That's compared to 87,000 last year. Uh-huh. So that's 100,000 extra people around the world watching.
And what, in a 12-month period?
Oh, no, just in the last month. No, just in the last month.
Oh, wow, okay.
Extraordinary. Yeah, yeah.
I've just tuned into the cam now as I'm talking to you, and it's HD, isn't it?
It is. It's really sweet. The sound, we've both got the sound off, of course, but the sound is so clear with this new, you can hear the chick yawning. You can hear it chirping away quite happily. You can hear the wind blowing. It's just, wow. Yeah, it's an HD experience, and you could think of it as slow TV. You know, slow TV. You could go on a train trip. Yeah. You can have it. She's my screensaver, and any time you can just go in and you get this beautiful view of the Otago Harbour. I mean, it's my home, but it's just glorious to see, and you get to see this little chick and the parents. So this is my third year, Jesse. I'm a Royal Cam fangirl.
Great.
It's been really important, I think, this over the last month is when the drama's happened, and that, of course, is when we've been in lockdown. So it just kind of, you know, it takes you out of yourself and your own bubble, yeah, into the wildlife. It's beautiful.
So what has happened then? What's been the drama?
Well, here we go. The male parent, OGK is the band, so I'll say OGK, had gone missing about a month ago. He went missing. And this is a really important time for the chicks because they're growing very fast. Winter is coming, so they need to pile on a lot of weight. He'd been a really dedicated parent. We get really close to them because we spend so much time. And after a couple of weeks, we were getting a little bit worried. After 3 weeks, we were getting really concerned. And then it had been 4 weeks. And I think people were sending messages and prayers from around the world. There's a discussion site where we have a chat about things, and you could just see, and I, to be honest, as a glass half empty kind of person, had given up hope. He was so devoted. I honestly thought that he had died at sea. I mean, there's all sorts of dangers from fishing, from natural predators, you know. So just suddenly the chick called. The mother's been feeding really well. She's been doing double duty, so she's amazing. YRK. But anyway, we saw the chick call, and OGK came in, but to try and describe it in human terms, was hobbling, so clearly injured. So he came into screen and then sat down for a little bit just to regain himself, then hobbled forward a little bit, then sat down. The chick was calling all this time, and then made his way to the chick and gave her a feed. So the first time he'd been able to feed her for a month. And this is instinct for them. You know, this is, they're the most beautiful parents to watch, but that's his job, is to feed this chick. And they've raised, he and his partner have raised several chicks in the past, so they know what they're doing. So he did that and then sat with the chick. You might have a photo of it on your webpage. Just sat with the chick for a while, side by side, really beautiful, and then hobbled away and then went out to sea. Now, I've been in touch with Doc this morning to find out what happened. And because of COVID, they haven't been on site as regularly as they would have been, but they've been watching it on video link. But they were allowed to send in a ranger to the headlands today just to make sure that if he was there, he was okay, and if he'd flown away. And he's flown out to sea again. Now, that's a good sign. This lovely camera equipment, Jesse, I was talking about, the Cornell team zoomed in, and that allowed, I think, the doc team to try and assess the injury to the leg. They don't know what it is, they're saying. They don't know. They can't tell what happened. But they're hoping it's superficial. And they say, and this is good news, that it's not unheard of for leg injuries. I mean, they're a big, heavy bird, you know, but for leg injuries to mend. So they're going to keep an eye out for his return. And we've all got our fingers and toes crossed for him to come back. But it was just this moving moment, you know. It lasted all of a few minutes. And I wouldn't have been the only one in tears around the world watching this, you know.
Did you just happen to be watching when that when the father turned up?
Yes, it is in my quiet moments, and I am working from home. I promise the listeners I really am working on art stories. But when I take a moment and I just need to de-stress, I'll just look and have a look. It's incredibly addictive. You're not there 24/7 with the bird, but you just check in, still hoping that OGK would come in or hoping the mum would come in. And there it all unfolded. We didn't know for a while, of course, that it was the dad because we didn't see the bands. And then we realised that it was, and the messages came in from around the world, and Doc came in as well. Sharon Bronny is the main ranger, and she keeps us well informed. So suddenly there's been this outpouring of joy and relief, and this little moment, you know, this little nest and this little moment in the Otago Peninsula just resonating with people around the world.
Out of interest, how do you watch it, Lynn?
Oh, just on my laptop or on my phone.
Okay. You haven't streamed it to the HDTV?
No, I'm not quite that devoted, so I see it on the small screen. But it's just a little moment. I might check in several times a day, but there are people to whom this has become really important, and they are watching closely. And I tell you, Jesse, they're kind of citizen scientists, the people who are glued to this. So they have reported in the last couple of weeks two feral cats that they've seen on during the night. And the first one Doc was able to catch really quickly. There's been a little owl, not a ruru, more pork, an actual little owl, which is what they have in Otago, and a harrier hawk. So people are watching. You can scroll back and watch, but they're just people, and this is what they do, is they sit and they watch and they look out for this little chick, especially when the adults first leave. You know, it's tiny and they're so vulnerable. But we saw this feral cat walk up to the chick. It was maybe 3 weeks ago, I think, so it was a bit smaller than now. Actually walk up to the chick and I think smell it and then walked away. And as I say, they caught it in a trap within a few days.
They're quite hard to catch, those feral cats too.
Really wily. Wily.
They're too well fed. Too hard to get them to take bait.
No, they're really super smart, but they know what they're doing on the peninsula. There's lots of traps out there. So, you know, your heart's in your mouth when you see that. And that's why the infrared, I think, has been so important. This happened in the dead of night. We'd never have known last year what's going on there. So, and even within the male bird's arrival yesterday, there were some of the chatterers, we call ourselves, were on there posting still shots, you know, because you can do that too. You can take a still from the video and post it and try to help the scientists to get a closer view of the injured leg and of the bird and any concerns there might be other injuries, because it's hard to tell. So it's a really uniting kind of experience. And this is where I say citizen science is such a great thing. There's not just two or three people watching the video through the night. There's thousands, you know, tens of thousands of people at any one time backing this little family.
Man, that must have been an incredible moment for you when that father turned up.
Oh, man. Really, especially when you kind of, you know, in the depths of despair, it really was. And I mean, big ups to the mother, YRK, because as I say, she's been doing double duty. So sometimes they might, you expect them to be away for a week, maybe a week and a half at this time, because they're trying to feed themselves and they've got to get enough food for the chick. So they work hard. That's why they breed only, you know, every 2 years, because it really takes a lot out of them. So the mum's been doing double duty. Now, what Doc does if you have a chick that's lost a parent, because they need two parents to survive, is that they will supplementary feed. I think there was at least one chick last year that had supplementary feeding quite regularly. But it's a reminder that these birds are vulnerable, big and strong as they are. Once they get out to the oceans and they fly huge distances to find enough food for their chicks, that they're terribly vulnerable. So it's it's captivating stuff. I highly recommend it if people haven't had a look at Royal Cam.
Great, very convincing. Lovely to spend some time chatting to you, Lynn, and thanks for your description of what's been going on. Keep in touch, all right?
Yeah, and you'll be hooked now, Jesse. I tell you, will not be that little chick off your screen from now on, I guarantee.
Thanks so much, Lynn Freeman from the RNZ Arts team. A few people asking how to find it. If you Google Royal Cam, you'll get it. It's on the Doc website, but it's also on YouTube.